Y'all ready to get in the Word of God this morning? Okay, if you would stand with me for the honor of reading God's Word. We're going to title this morning is A Walk in the Clouds. And for our opening scripture, I've got a couple different passages. I normally don't do that, but I want to set this up this morning. So we're going to be reading from three different texts. So Matthew chapter 24, starting with verse 29. It says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light and the stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with the loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds from one end of heaven to the other. Mark chapter 14, verse 61, again the high priest asked him, this is when Jesus is being tried, he says, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven. In Acts chapter 1, verse 6, after Jesus had revealed himself to the disciples, and this is before his ascension back into heaven, it says, so when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And they were gazing into heaven as he went. And behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that we have an opportunity to come and to gather to worship you, Lord. We don't take that for granted, and we thank you for the opportunity to do so. And I pray, Father, that as we look at the beauty of heaven, that every single person here today would have the assurance that they can call heaven home. If not, Lord, would you speak to their heart, open up their blind eyes and help them to see, and Father, give them that ability to call upon you. Father, help me to preach plain and clear today. I understand the judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I do accept that place, for it's in Jesus' name that I pray and his name that I preach. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So we're kind of in our movie series title of movies, and every title, The Message, has a title that Hollywood produced a movie from. And so Hollywood spends millions of dollars coming together with these movies and coming up with these titles that I believe the Bible has the better story. So, you know, so we have A Walk in the Clouds. This was a film by Keanu Reeves was in this one, and he was a World War II soldier, and he came home, and he had quickly gotten married before the war, and as he came back, he really didn't know his wife that well, and he heads up north for work, and on the way there, he meets this Mexican-American lady who is pregnant, and he poses as her husband to keep her out of trouble with the father and the family, and it goes on, and he goes, it's a romance story, is what it is, and I'm sure a lot of the ladies thought, oh, this is a great story, it's a romance story, but I tell you, God's Word has the better story. You see, God created the heavens and the earth. And he saw all that he made, and it was good. And then, of the greatest apex of creation, he creates man in his own image. And he creates Adam and Eve, and he places them in the garden, and he loves them, and he is their God, and he is with them, and he's walking with them in the coolness of the day. And they have perfect relationship, perfect fellowship, and it's beautiful, and it's a great love story that God makes his creation. He loves the man and the woman. Then we read Genesis 3, and something bad happens, and the plot twist, and it goes into a downward spiral, and sin enters the world. And Satan deceives Eve, and Adam and Eve, they take the fruit that God said not to, and they eat, and sin happens, and the consequence happens. Death enters the world, but yet God doesn't stop loving them. In fact, he pursues them, and he covers their shame and sin, and he covers them by his grace. He could have left them in their sin, could have left them in their shame, but he didn't. There was the consequence, however, and they're banished from Eden, and we keep reading the Bible, and every time we read the Bible, we read that people that God has created and wants to love and have relationship with him, they rebel and they reject him. And so the whole story of the Old Testament is a story of a God who pursues a prodigal people. And the question becomes, is how far will God go to redeem mankind? How far will he go? What will he do as people keep rebelling against him? What length will he go through to restore that relationship and redeem for him a people that he will call his own? And we read that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. That whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. How far will God go to redeem a people for himself? He will send his Son to die on a cross so that we might be redeemed and forgiven. That's how much God loves. That's the greatest love story ever told. And so Jesus left heaven, the comforts and joys of heaven, and came and took on flesh. And he died for our sin, and they nailed him to a cross where Jesus died for our sin so that we might be made right before a holy God. And the wrath of God fell upon him so that it wouldn't have to fall upon us. And they placed him in a tomb, and he rose on the third day, defeating death, hell, and the grave. And he came back to his disciples, and he told his disciples, I'm alive. I'm alive forevermore, and I'm coming back again. In the meantime, go tell the story of what I've done. And as Revelation in John, and when he saw the revelation, he glimpsed into heaven. It says this in Revelation 1:5, to him who loves us, talking about Jesus, and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priest to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he says, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I believe God's word has the better story. What do you think? You want to take a walk in the clouds? We've got a better story. So I want to talk about heaven this morning. I'm talking about heaven, and the first thing we got to understand about heaven, that it is a place. It's a real place, not because a little boy told us it was real, but because Jesus and his word told us it was real. It's a real place. It is a place created by God. God is above the heavens, and he created the heavens. In the beginning, Genesis 1, God created the heavens and the earth. In Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 15, it says this, it is he who made the earth by his power, who established the world by his wisdom, and by his understanding stretched out the heavens. How many of y'all realize that God Almighty stretched out the heavens? And because he stretched out the heavens, guess what? He can roll it back up again. And that's exactly what's going to happen. When he comes back, there's going to be a rolling away of the heavens. Jesus and his word is going to stand forever, but this earth and the heavens are going to pass away, and behold, a new heaven and a new earth God's going to make. So he is the God of the heavens, that his glory does dwell there. It is a place made by God, and it is a place where God does dwell. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 1 says this, thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Now think about that. Think about the power of God, the omnipresence of God, that he is everywhere. He is so big that the heavens can't contain him. The heavens is merely his throne. It's merely where he sits. And the earth is his footstool. It's where he puts his foot, where he rests. We read that Jesus is in heaven at the right hand of the Father. When Stephen was being stoned, when they're stoning Stephen, he looks up into heaven and he says, "Behold, I see the Jesus, the Son of Man, standing at the right hand of the Father." So we know heaven is a place that God created. It is a place where God dwells. It's also a place where the angels dwell. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, "You are the Lord, you alone. You have made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts." This is talking about angelic beings. "The earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them, and you preserve all of them, and the host of heaven worships you." We read in Revelation, and what do we see? We see angelic beings, thousands upon thousands, before the throne of God, and they're singing hallelujah. An angelic host of heavens. There's angelic beings there. But also, heaven is a place where Christians dwell. Okay? Now, when a Christian dies, I've got to correct a couple things here. There's no such thing as purgatory. Okay? When you die, the Bible says in Hebrews, it is appointed for a man once to die and then judgment. If you think you're going to die and there's going to be a waiting period and you're going to get a second chance, you're mistaken. You will die, and your soul will stand before God, and there will be judgment, and there's heaven or hell. Okay? There's not a waiting period. Okay? In heaven, Christians are there. We're not angels. We hear it all the time. I see it all the time. Someone, dear loved one, will die, and oh, they're just an angel, another angel in heaven. No. No, angels are created beings by God, okay? We are created in the image of God, and when we go to heaven, we don't turn into an angelic being, okay? We are in heaven worshiping our God, our Creator. Another thing is that when you die, your soul immediately goes into the presence of God. There's no such thing as soul sleep, okay? Some people believe that when you die, you just go into a sleep, and you just wait, and you're kind of in a non-existent holding pattern. But that's not what Jesus said to the thief on the cross, is it? Remember when Jesus was dying along with two other thieves, and one of the thieves said, "Jesus, would you remember me when you get into your kingdom?" And it says this in Luke 23, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Paul said it this way. He said, so we're always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, meaning when we're alive. But when we're home with the body, we're away from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Yes, he says, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body, that means we to die, and at home with the Lord. Okay? Let not your heart, so he says, we are people who, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So when we die, our soul goes to heaven. So I don't know about you, but I've got loved ones who have went on. Have you all got some family and friends and people that you love that are in heaven? Okay, they're in heaven right now. They're in heaven. They didn't pass away, they passed on to glory. We didn't say goodbye, we said, I'll see you later, right? Because that's our home, that's where we're going, and so that's where the saints of God are living right now. And Jesus said this. He said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." And so Jesus says, "I'm preparing a place for you." That heaven is your home. It's the Father has a house and he's got a room for you. He's got a place for you. It's a place where you belong. Because right now the Bible says this world is not our home. We're just pilgrims passing through. We're just sojourners. Our home is with the Lord. Do you know him today? Do you have assurance of that? Because I'm telling you, it's a great place. It's a place where God dwells. It's a place where the angelic host dwell. It's a place where Christians dwell. It's also a place of reward. It's a place of reward. In Matthew 5:12, Jesus says, "Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Jesus said, "But lay up for yourselves what? Treasures in heaven, where moth or rust destroys, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal." He said, "There's going to be rewards in heaven." Okay? How you live your life, the faithfulness that you have in your life, we're going to cast our crowns before the feet of Jesus to worship him. And my question to you, believer, is this. Not that you work your way into heaven, okay, because the work of Christ does that, but how are you living a life that is going to produce rewards that you will be able to cast down your crowns before him? Because the Bible says this, that when we die, the believer's life is going to be judged. Okay? Our life is going to be judged as well. Whether we have lived a pure, righteous, faithful life and served God with pure motives, or if we've lived selfishly and not built our life with the things that are of God. So he says, everyone's life is going to be tested with fire. Okay? And anyone who has built his life with wood, hay, or straw, it'll burn up and it will suffer loss. Though the foundation will stand because that's the Lord Jesus. But anyone who has built his life or her life on gold, silver, or precious stones, that's faithfully loved and lived for Jesus out of a pure heart, it'll stand. And you will be rewarded. And we'll be able to cast our crowns at the feet of Jesus. And I know what some of you are thinking. Some of you are thinking, "Well, I'd just be happy to get in." I know I get that. I get that. But now let me push you a little further, okay? I mean, don't you want to be able to have some rewards that you'd be able to cast down at the feet of Jesus and give him thanks for what he has done for you? I don't want to get up there empty-handed. What about you? I mean, how awful and embarrassing would that be? Somebody would be, "That's not fair. They got rewards and I didn't." Yeah, they lived their lives for Jesus with a pure motive. Don't be that Christian. Have the reward. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. There's different crowns of heaven. You know, the Bible talks about, I'll quickly go through some of those. The crown of righteousness, that is the crown that's given to those who have loved his appearing and looked forward to his coming and have been anxiously, eagerly waiting for his return. The martyr's crown. The Bible talks about those who have suffered persecution, have even given their lives for the gospel. He says, "I'll give you the crown of life." There's the victor's crown when Paul says, you know, not everyone who enters a race wins, but, you know, I run in such a way as that I win. There is the shepherd's crown that is for those who are pastors of churches who will serve and minister faithfully unto God. There is the soul winner's crown, those who have shared the gospel with other people and have led other people to the Lord Jesus. So it's a place of reward. How are you living your life for the glory of God? It's also a place of peace, a place of hope, a place of joy. a place of rest, a place of righteousness, a place of gladness. I mean, you just start thinking of all the things that you long for. That's there in heaven. Revelation 21:4 says this, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. No funerals in heaven. No grave sites in heaven. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Aren't you sick of listening to what's going on in the world? I mean, doesn't it just make you, I mean, you turn on the news and you hear about, this person killing this person, and you hear about the drugs and the destruction and families, and I mean, it just every time you turn around or read, something bad's happening. I'm tired of the wars. I don't know a time in my life where we weren't at odds with some other country at some point over something, right? Aren't you glad that in heaven the weapons are going to be turned into plowshares, where there's not going to be any fighting anymore? No more hunger. No more abused children. No more cancer. No more accidents. All that gone. Everything that we say, man, I hate this about life, gone. No more sorrow, no more grieving, no more friction, no more relationships that can't work out. It's going to be perfect. Why? Because those who make it imperfect aren't going to be there. Revelation 22:15 says this, outside are the dogs and sorcerers and the sexually immoral and the murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. God's not letting everybody into heaven. And some of you are going to protest and say, that's not fair. He doesn't allow everyone into heaven. And that's a good thing. He doesn't allow people in who doesn't love him, who doesn't honor him, who does. He is not going to let anyone into heaven who does not respect his son. Amen. Think about it. Let's just think about it. Dads, husbands, I'll talk to you, and I also women, wives, talk to y'all too. But just think about this: if you're at home and somebody comes into your home, and they start talking to your wife like trash, and they start cussing her out, and they start cussing your kids out, and they start abusing your kids, are you going to let them stay in your home? Absolutely not. They're out, right? They're gone. They're not staying there. Why? Because they disrespect the people that you love. And guess what? In heaven, all the adulterers, all the fornicators, all the liars, all the murderers, all the wickedness, everyone who has disrespected God doesn't get into heaven. Because if they got into heaven, it wouldn't be heaven anymore. It'd be like this. It'd be like earth. It'd be like now. People who say, well, this is heaven, I sure hope not. Right? I mean, this isn't heaven. I lock my doors and I have to, I don't trust people, right? In heaven, it's going to be perfect community, perfect fellowship, perfect love. We don't have to worry about anyone stealing or killing or lying or cheating. It's going to be perfect. That's heaven. That's, boy, I tell you what, that's the walk in the clouds I want to take. Amen. So he's not going to let them in, which is a good thing. Why? Because he loves his children. And he's got a place for his children, and he protects his children. This is a place worth everything to get there. Some of you save up money and spend a lot of money and to go on different trips and vacations and all this kind of stuff, right? We save up money and we go to Disney World and we think, man, isn't this beautiful and majestic? The mouse has nothing on Jesus. I mean, heaven is glorious. And it's worth so much that the Bible says that the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that is hidden in a field. And when a man found this treasure, he covered it up. He went and dug a hole in the ground, covered it up, and then went and sold everything that he had so that he could buy that field. That's how important it is. Jesus is saying heaven is worth everything to make sure you possess. There is nothing in this life, in this world, that you can invest in that is greater than the kingdom of God. There is nothing worth your time and energy and pursuit. There is nothing in this world that should capture your attention and your heart more than the kingdom of heaven. That's invaluable. That is worth everything. And it is worth everything. Sell it all to get it. And so, another reason why that makes it so valuable is this. We all will die one day, unless we're alive when Jesus comes back. Correct? And we say, well, why do we die? Well, we die because it is a result of sin, and we live in a fallen world. And so, we will all die. Okay? But death to the believer is not a punishment. It's not a punishment. You see, God sees death differently than we see death. In Psalm 116, verse 15, it says this, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." See, when a believer dies, God says, they came home. They came home. I've brought them home where they belong. They're with me forevermore. Now think about this. Why doesn't God just take you on up to heaven when you get saved? We build our church on seven purposes. Everything we do kind of focuses on these seven purposes. Okay? And all out of these seven, there's six of them you'll still be able to do in heaven, but one of them you won't. Okay? So let's go over those. Let's review these real quick. You ready? Worship. Okay? We'll be able to worship in heaven, right? Learn. We'll be able to learn in heaven. And now we see in part, but then we will see in fullness. We will learn in heaven. Pray. We'll get to pray. We'll get to talk to Jesus in heaven. Amen? Belong. We'll be in a place where we belong, a fellowship. We'll be in a perfect fellowship where we love one another, and we just don't say we love one another. Amen? Huh? No back talking. We'll be perfect fellowship. Serving. We will serve. We will be having jobs in heaven. There'll be things that we will be doing in heaven. We'll be serving the Lord in heaven and serving one another in heaven. Giving. We'll be able to give. We'll be casting our crowns before the feet of Jesus. We'll be giving. Now, the only thing that we're not going to be able to do is invite. We're not going to be able to invite people to Jesus, because if we try that, here's what it'll look like. We'll be in heaven, we'll be like, do you know Jesus? They'll be like, yeah. Do you know Jesus? Yeah. Do you know Jesus? Yeah. Well, everybody up here knows Jesus. Well, yeah, it's heaven. It's filled with believers, right? So I'm out of a job in heaven. Everybody will know Jesus. So if we can't do that in heaven, guess what we better be doing here on earth? Is inviting people to Jesus. Because you know what? Right now the door is open. Right now the opportunity for anyone to be saved is now. And so right now is the time that we need to make sure that our friends and family members and the people that we work with are getting invited to Jesus, and that we're sharing the gospel with them, because there's going to be a day when Jesus comes back, and he is coming back, and when he splits the eastern sky and he comes back, it's over. There's no second chance. The door is shut. The door is closed. And he is returning. Paul says it this way, behold, I tell you a mystery. Ooh, I like mysteries, don't you? Mystery. We shall not all sleep. That's mean we're all going to stay dead. But we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. There's a day when he resurrects the dead. You remember Jesus? He was resurrected, right? Bodily, not just in spirit, but in bodily form. How do we know that? Because they touched Jesus. You touch a spirit, you go, your hand would go through his spirit. They touched Jesus. He ate. And the Bible says, we will be as he. We won't be Jesus, we'll be like Jesus. We'll have a glorified, perfect body that will never age. Amen? Never grow old. Never forget anything. We'll be able to know everybody's names. That's going to be a blessing. Gonna have a perfect glorified body. I'm thinking 6'4, 220. Never die. No more separation. Perfect. Perfect body. Perfect place. Whew, man, a walk in the clouds. But here's, let me remind you, not everyone is going. Matthew 7, verse 21, Jesus says this, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? And then I will declare and say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. I never knew you. Why? Because they were trusting in their own works rather than the work of Christ. The Bible says this. The work of God is this, to believe in the one whom he sent, Jesus. You must place your faith and trust in Jesus to be saved. He says, everyone who acknowledges me before men on earth, I'm going to acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before men on earth, I'll deny them before my Father in heaven. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Don't just think you know. Don't just sit there and say, well, I hope so. Our faith is not a hope so, think so, maybe so thing. It's a know so thing. You got to know that you know. Now, walk in the clouds. I'm telling you, it's going to be a great place. I hope you're there. I hope you're there. If you're not there, don't blame me. On the day of judgment, don't look at me and say, he never told us. I told you right now. I'm telling you right now, you better know Jesus or you're not going to heaven. We think about the beauties of heaven, the grander heaven. Here's what I'm afraid. I'm afraid that we as Americans, we get so comfortable with the luxuries of this world that heaven loses its luster. I think of some of the old Appalachian mountain folk who had nothing. What they sing a lot of songs about? Heaven. The golden streets. The celestial shores. Mom and dad being in heaven waiting for me. Why? Because this world had nothing to offer them and they knew all their hope was in Jesus. Guess what? It doesn't matter if we have nice homes. Some of us, we got nice homes. We got nice cars. We got heating and air. We got food. We got clothes. And we think, man, look at my life. Look what I've got. Man, I'm so blessed. I've got so much stuff. Look what my hands have done. It pales in comparison to what God has ready for those who believe. So we've got to keep our eyes on heaven. One eye heaven, one eye on earth, C.S. Lewis said. Why? One eye in heaven to remind us where we're going. This world is not our home. One eye on earth that we want to invite other people to go there too. Do you know him today? Have you crossed from death to life in Jesus? If not, guess what? This morning, do so. This morning, let's come and give Jesus, Lord. Make him Lord of our lives. Let's pray. Father, this morning, as we think about heaven and we think about the beauties of heaven and how glorious of a place it is. It's a place where you dwell and that you have made, and Lord, that you have prepared for all of those who love you. And one day we will be with you forever. And God, I thank you for saving me. I thank you for saving many people here this morning. They know you. They have a relationship with you. But Lord, for that man or woman who doesn't know you, today would you speak to their heart? Lord, would they long for the glorious place of heaven? Would they walk in the clouds with you, Jesus, one day? For it's in your name that we do pray. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing. Let's respond. Let's come. Let's worship. Let's pray. I'll be here. Pastor John's on that side if you need to talk to somebody. Let's let God have our heart.